Let me see. Hello, everyone. Okay, listen, I'm going to tell y'all, I have upped my audio game. I have on a new one of these things. I have one on. So if, let me know if you could hear me and if it sounds okay in the Q&A, I mean, in the chat, just let me know that it sounds okay because just let me know if it sounds good, if you can hear me, if I sound clear. I sound like Corinne, let me know. Sound loud and clear. Hello, everyone. So it is open coaching. It is office hours. So we already have people raising their hands. This is awesome. So I will be here for 2 hours. For those of you that do not know me, I'm Coach MJ. Let's see. What else do you need to know? If you are in the chat, you want to check all panelists and attendees so that everyone can see what you have to say. If you have a question that you do not want to share in the chat, you can absolutely put it in the Q&A. I don't know that I will have time to get to it. It just depends. But I will if I can. And I appreciate all the hair love. I was just thinking as I was getting ready, I went in and like brushed it up a little bit, but I was like, I never thought I could let my hair grow. But apparently when you absolutely cannot go to the beauty shop, turns out it's not as bad as you thought it was. So yeah, it's not as hard to let it grow when you can't even go get it done. So I know I'm thinking about letting it grow. I'm like, hell, I'm already past the like, I can't stand myself stage. Maybe I will. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? So how this works, if some of you do not know, maybe it's your first call. Oh, let it grow. We could start a poll. If we could start a poll in the Zoom chat, that would be awesome. I cannot see you. If you raise your hand and we have time, we're here for 2 hours, I will pull you up and coach you. So make sure that you know that your hand is raised because I will call on you and it will not be pretty if you did not mean, if you didn't mean to have your hand raised. So, all right, we will start with Pam. Pam Dine has got her hand raised. Let's see. What the heck? All right, let's see what happens. Pam.
Hello.
How is it going?
I'm right there with you with the short hair growing out.
And yeah.
Shower and I'm like, I don't know. Every day is a challenge.
Anyway, I'm like, may as well now.
Timing. Right. So this is great timing because my daughter just left the house for a little while, so she go get food. And I kind of want to talk about her, even though I'm supposed to talk about me, but I'm having a hard time like separating out her BS with my own BS. So my daughter's 19. She just spent 2 months in kind of intensive mental health treatment. And she came home a week ago and she's being for depression and anxiety, and she's being extremely moody. And every time she gets into a thing, it's like, I feel like she feels like I'm picking on her, but I'm not. And I feel like then she's mad at me and my husband feels the same way. And our house is like, just all of a sudden things were going along just pretty okay. Well, she was gone. And then all of a sudden it's just all this chaos, and I'm having a hard time managing my own mind around what, how to not just like ignore her. Cause then that doesn't feel right. You know right. What I mean?
So and tell me, like, tell me like an instance that this happened, like walk me through when something like that, like the last time that this kind of happened.
So I'm working all the time from home on Zoom and Skype and on the phone constantly. And she can't necessarily tell. I mean, it's hard, right? Cause I'm sitting in the same spot. So she comes down and she's like, can we do something together? And I'm like, I'm just about to get on a call. And she thinks we're just here to play with her. And literally this just happened a couple hours ago. She's like, can we do something together? I'm like, well, no, I'm in the middle of work. And then she's like, you never want to do anything with me. And she storms off and she's bored out of her mind. And she's like, that's so boring here. I don't know why I'm here and I have nothing to do. And you know, hers is not unique, but she's not managing her boredom well. And she doesn't really, literally has nothing to do. And so, because she's not in school and she's not working, she literally just came out of treatment. And I just am not sure how to not take that personally and then not reflect back on her in a like, what do you mean I'm not just here to play with you? I actually, you know, work.
Right. So when she comes down,
I'm sorry.
Well, when she comes down and she says, can we do something together? It's so boring here, all the things. What do you think? Do you think, is that really what you think? We're not just here to play with you?
Well, kind of. And, mm-hmm. And she should know that. Now, while she was in treatment, I know I just shit it on her. But
I know. We do it
well,
all.
While she was in treatment, we had started family therapy, and there was which is, by the way, fairly difficult, but I'm very glad that I have been learning to, you know, manage my mind and not take all of her crap. You know, when she says, you're never there for me and such, not to really, really understand that I can understand that this is her projection and not true. But every time she's like, why can't you just hang out with me or do something? And we only do things when you want to do them. You know, errands and things like that when they're convenient for you, I'm internalizing that as, or I'm taking that as you're just not a very effective parent. And that doesn't feel very good.
Right.
If I'm being honest, even though I know it's not true. And there's a lot more about her in all of that. I it's very hard to not take that personally and not feel bad about it.
I'm going to try this board. I've moved it to the other side. You can see my light. I am trying to learn how to write on this thing, which has been a struggle since I started. If anybody has been following along.
MJ, you're doing a great job.
Coach MJ is not the best scribe. I say that every week. So, yeah. So, your circumstance. Your daughter said... what did she say? She said, can we do something together?
Yeah. Right. And it's not a good time to do it.
Right.
And then she storms off angrily when I say, I can't right now, but let's do it later.
Right. So your thought is, of all the things, I'm just putting this here for just because, but uh-huh. Really you also were like, you know, you weren't a good parent. You were never there for me. All the things, right? Like she's saying right. All the things.
Yes.
So right. Your thought is, I am not an effective parent.
Yes.
And how does that make you feel?
Not good.
Like
mom guilt. Like mom guilt.
Okay. Guilty.
Yes.
So how do you show up? I can't spell. Okay. How do you show up? When you feel guilty and you think I'm not an effective parent, you feel guilty. What do you do or not do?
I think I probably either get defensive. Sometimes I get defensive and sometimes I.
So you might like snap at her.
Yeah. And say, what are you talking about? You know, snap at her in my own defense.
And then you question your own parenting.
Yes. Or overcompensate and give in to her and, you know, say, you know, yeah, that.
You give in. What else?
I feel bad about myself and...
Yeah, then, like the negative, like question parent and question yourself. Right. Negative self-talk.
Right, which leads to buffering.
Oh. Do you eat off plan or overeat?
Yes.
Yeah, you eat. Look at all that. Overeat. What else? Anything else? We got a lot going on. Anything else?
I work out like crazy so that I can not
So that's
be
buffering with working out.
That's buffering, yes.
Yeah. And your result?
Right. My result is?
You're not effective for her?
Correct. I'm proving the thought. Look at that.
Or you?
Yes.
Right? You're not effective anywhere. Mm-hmm. You're not effective. I know, it's so crazy how that happens almost every time. Yeah. Like, exactly, that's what happened.
Well done.
Yeah. So when she says, can we do something, blah, 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 all the things, and then, you know, you weren't a good parent, all of that. Is any of that true?
No.
No. Does any of her words have anything at all to do with you?
Well, the right answer is no, but
they're directed at you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. This is where I struggle with the emotion and thought is separate from the circumstance because it's still, how do I say it in a different way that it's not what's hurtful. My own thoughts are what's hurtful.
Right. So right now what you have going on is you're thinking, I feel guilty because my daughter said, can we do something? You never took time for me. Right. All of those things. So you may not know this about me, but my daughter has bipolar, anxiety, and depression. She's right up there. She's right over there. So today, actually, she stomped up the stairs, told me that I was mean and that I hurt her feelings and I was not supportive. Right?
Yeah. So you might know what I'm talking about.
Huh? Yeah.
So you might know what I'm talking about.
So guess what my thought was? She's just upset and this has nothing to do with me. She doesn't know. She
does not know how to. It doesn't have something to do with what I said to her or what I did. You know what I mean?
Because nothing does. You can't make her feel anything ever. I can't make my daughter feel anything. I say words to her. She hears them. And you even said earlier, whenever you were talking and you said, when she says this, I take it to mean.
Mm-hmm. No,
and so when you say something, she takes it to mean. You can have everything, all the love. It could come from a place of love and compassion and all that. That might be how you feel about what you said, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's how she's going to interpret it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And totally. She is 19. She doesn't know. I mean, she does not have the mental bandwidth and it's clouded with, you know, she has medical diagnoses.
Yeah.
So she can't separate all of that out for herself.
Yeah. I mean, she did learn a lot while she was in treatment and it sounds like they did do a lot of thought work, but it wasn't around, it wasn't the same way as in coaching where you can work to actively change the thought. It was more about being comfortable with just having negative emotion.
Yeah.
Which is both are good.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had that discussion
Okay,
too.
But thank you for like reminding me that she could just be in a bad mood and it has nothing to do with me. And I don't have to feel bad about that, even though I'm concerned about her.
And the whole thing is you still show up with love. Like you still show up with like love for her, with compassion for her, with all of the things. And then she gets to decide how she's going to receive it. And that is not on you at all.
Right.
That is 100% on her.
Thank you for reminding me of all that. That's very true.
Yeah. So what could you think when she says those things?
Well, like what you just said, she's having a bad moment and it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's bored and wants me to fix it, but I can't. And that's, her boredom isn't because of me.
And look, I am sure you have some baseboards she could wipe down. I am sure that she has some TV and some Netflix and she could do. I mean, bored is her. She's saying she's bored. There are things she can do.
Mm-hmm.
She could go out for a walk. She could do all the stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just not her choice right now.
Right. Thank you. That's a helpful reminder that she's in her own models and I'm not. Yeah.
Yes. I know. And it is, you know, it is hard to separate that out sometimes. I know, you know, and my daughter even told me earlier, she's been depressed for 3 days. She came downstairs and announced it. Day three of depression today. It was day three. And we have not seen much of her. And she was like, sometimes you just want to be depressed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you 100% get to choose that. And so when she was, you know, coming back at me. I mean, I have to do the same stuff. She's just depressed right now. And this has nothing to do with me. Yeah. And a lot of times, you know how I sometimes get compassion for her as well. If she is so, when she gets so in a depression, so spun up in her thoughts, the least I can do for her is take that. Is to take what she's offering me. Like the words. Because if she has to take responsibility for that, that's one more thing that she's responsible for. And her brain is already spinning.
So when you say take it, you mean just like let her yell and not
yell, but like, you know what, yeah, when she was stomping up the stairs, yeah. When she was stomping up the stairs, like, you were not nice to me and blah, 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 and all the things she was saying, like, sometimes I almost, you know, I'm like, okay, I mean, it's over. She's gone. She's going to go back to her room and calm down. And she can say those words.
So do you just listen to it and not respond?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, today I didn't respond. Mm-hmm. She was just upset, you know, she didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
She didn't know what to do with it. And it was just, it was her depression. It was her anxiety. Just like it's your daughter's depression. It's your daughter's anxiety. Yeah. And she gets to, you know, it's hers and she's just letting it go.
Right. But feels weird to not respond, but I think that's,
and sometimes I do respond. It depends on the situation and it depends on what your thought is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on what your thought is. And maybe sometimes she says something and then your thought is, you know, you have a thing and your thought might be, maybe I could handle that a little bit differently. And then your action would be to respond. In a different way. I mean, it's whatever your thought is in that situation that's going to drive your feeling and your action.
Cool.
Yeah. Much love to you, mama.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
much it. Love to you, mama. We will stick to, we'll figure it all out, won't we? We will figure it all out because, you know, I'm right there with you on this one,
but you'll
get it. And you know what? I'm glad she got help. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it was necessary.
Good, good.
Thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. Let's see. You know, I have to write this down, y'all, because I'm the only one on this call. So that I can write it up so y'all can go back and listen to it again. All right. Missy in North Carolina. I am MJ in South Carolina. Let's see some my fellow Carolinian. Hello.
I don't know what she's. Oh, okay. Sorry, that's not a live picture. There we go.
There. Hello. Where in North Carolina are you?
We're about 40 miles northeast of Charlotte.
Okay, I'm in Rock Hill. I'm right below Charlotte.
Oh wow, you sure are. We're neighbors.
Right
up.
We're almost neighbors. That's exactly right. All right. What are we coaching on today?
Okay. Here goes. I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous.
I've been a member since May of 2018.
Okay.
And I don't know where my camera is, obviously, because I'm not looking at it. Anyway. Oh, I know. I bet it's over here. Okay. Sorry.
It's okay.
And I don't write plans.
Okay.
To kind of be encouraged, hopefully. I got to do something. I lost weight before I came to PNP, and PNP helped me keep it off. And now I'm kind of gradually gaining, and I've topped 200, which has made me very upset, and I want to do something about it. I want to get the weight off again.
So why haven't you written plans? Have you ever written plans?
I've written a couple. I mean, I've written some, but not many. And the reason I don't write them is because I think it's a couple reasons. Like when I was younger, I remember writing down my food, like on the early diets, you know, mm-hmm. being a teenager maybe or preteen. And then the program that I did before PNP, it wasn't a program, it was with a coach. And although I lost weight, I literally worked with her and she and I came up with a weekly plan, like even wrote down every single thing I was going to eat for the week when we met, and I didn't like it, and it was really restrictive. And so I just came to PNP like, well, I really like this program, but I'm not going to write a plan. So I've been real rebellious.
Right.
But I also see that now I need help because I'm not losing weight and I'm not where I want to be. So
how are you with the other basics?
Sleep is pretty good. Water's good. 2 to 2, not great.
Right. So you are really not doing 50% of the basics.
Pretty much. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. There's 4. You got 2. Yep,
that'd be right.
Yeah. That'd be right. Right. I am good at, I'm the good math. I'm the math.
You're good at math. Like,
apparently.
You got that.
Yeah. So what, like when you don't write your plans and you don't follow the hunger scale, what do you think? Like, so you get up in the morning. Do you ever think about making a plan?
I do. And sometimes I kind of make them in my mind, you know,
That's a wish. A plan in your mind is a wish.
Yeah. It's not written down. I mean, it's like very, very rarely that it's written down. Let's see if I can get my camera a little better.
Right. Here. So what do you, what are your thoughts about the 24-hour plan? I'm going to try to write this bigger.
It just feels restrictive. And I know I'm not a unicorn. I've listened to, you know, so much. Been in the program for so long. I know I'm not the one person that you're going to say, oh, okay. Yeah, you don't have to write a plan.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Look, I'm going to tell you, if I find the person that comes on here and is like, I have never written a 24-hour plan, I don't like them, and I've lost 75 pounds, I'd be like, bam, you win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, maybe you don't have to. I haven't met that person, but if I meet that person, then maybe we'll be okay with it, right?
I think that's what I told myself because I was able to maintain, you know.
But you didn't come here to maintain, right?
No, I didn't. And I've been paying for going on, 2 years? Yeah.
It's restrictive. How does that feel?
I don't like feeling restrictive.
So you feel justified. You don't want to be restricted. It's restrictive. Yeah. So yeah, I don't have to write one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's restrictive. So you don't write them. You don't follow the hunger scale. No hunger scale. How you doing on discovery worksheets and such?
I think I filled out 1.
So no discovery worksheet. How are you talking to yourself? You pretty happy with you?
I'm a lot better than I used to be.
Right. But whenever you think like, I've been in here for 2 years, I don't write any plans, I'm not doing the work, is some of that going on?
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I've been in here a long time and I know the information, but I'm not practicing it. So I'm not being successful.
Right. This is such a good result. Do you want to see your result?
Can't wait.
I restrict myself from my goals. Love that, don't you?
Wow, I didn't see that coming, but that's good.
Did you not?
No, not really. Written like that. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Dang it.
Okay.
Dang you, model.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm not very good at the model. I try it sometimes, but I'm not.
There is honestly, I say this all the time, there is no wrong way to do a model. Honestly, it's like, you know, as long as you get, like, you're getting your thoughts out, sort of. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm pretty good now at making, most of the time, this match your thought, all the things. But sometimes people put actions in there. But as long as you kind of see that it's not giving you what you want. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Some people are really scared of it, but it is a great way to just kind of see like what is actually going on.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right there in black and white.
Mm-hmm. It's in black and white. It's in bad handwriting, but it's in black and white. So look, what do you want to think about the 24-hour plan? That's the question.
I want to think that it's
helping me, that it's a tool that could help me.
Oh, okay. It's a tool that can help. How does that make you feel when you think it's a tool that can help me?
That feels better. That feels a lot better. It feels like I'm going to choose to do it because it's a tool that could help me.
Yes, it's a tool that can help me. Do you hear that dog?
I heard something.
Oh.
You got a storm coming, I bet, because
I do.
Here.
Mm-hmm. And we have gone from one child with one dog to three childs with three dogs.
Oh, well, my two dogs are on the other side of the door, so I closed.
Yeah, but it's very windy here and very cloudy. Mm-hmm. So how does that make you feel when you think it's a tool that can help?
It makes me feel like I should use it. It makes me feel like
curious, maybe. Kind of like curious, like mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a go and see, like, mm-hmm. there may be something to this.
Mm-hmm.
So you would, your actions would be write the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also be, I'm going to tell you, because tomorrow you're going to wake up and be like, I don't want to write that plan. Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't want to. It's restrictive. And then mm-hmm. you're going to be like, no, it's not. It's a tool that I can use that's going to help me lose weight. So you're going to mm-hmm. have to redirect your thoughts. You're going to have to do it when you don't want to.
Okay.
Right? And your result is you use the tools that can help you. Yeah. And it's going to, tomorrow you're going to be like, no. No. Brenda says hopeful would be a good feeling. I agree. Hopeful might be a good feeling for you to use too.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever, you know, whatever feeling that thought gives you.
Okay.
And you know what? You're not going to want to do it. Just mm-hmm. so we're clear. The old thought that you've been using, it's restrictive. I don't want to do it. It's not going to help. I don't know. I may be a special unicorn. I haven't figured that out yet. All the things. And you're mm-hmm. like, no, I'm curious. It's a tool that I can use to help me.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
But that's going to be your work. I mean, you're going to have to keep reminding yourself and mm-hmm. you're going to have to do it when you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to make it realistic. You're going to put everything on there that you're going to eat, not what you think somebody that loses weight eats, not what you think Corinne would want you to put on your plan, mm-hmm. not what you used to write on your plan when you had this big diet that you were on. None of that goes on the plan.
Okay. This is a situation I have. Okay. For lunch, I work with my husband.
Okay.
And we used to go out to lunch. Now that, you know, you can't go in restaurants, we pick up lunch. And I don't know from day to day where that's going to be from. I mean, there's a handful of places we kind of pick from. But
yeah.
So in the morning when you don't know, you know, where you're going to eat lunch, how do you do that? How do you make?
Look, this is what you do because you have a little bit of say in where you go to lunch.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
In the mm-hmm. morning, you pick two of the places that y'all normally go. You mm-hmm. write down two choices for lunch. And then when it's lunchtime and your husband says, where are we going to get lunch from? You say, hey, you know what? I planned for Chinese and Mexican today. So you pick which one and I have something planned for either option today.
Okay.
And if you really wanted Italian, listen, 100%, I'm going to plan that for tomorrow. Okay. We go there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's doable. And sometimes I take, you know, or come home and eat something different anyway. I'll pick up their lunch and I'll run home and fix me a salad. I've done that, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. You just decide in the morning, like what you're going to do.
Go ahead and decide what I'm going to do. Okay.
And like I said, there's nothing wrong with giving yourself a couple of choices.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
If we go here, I'll eat this. If we go here, I'll eat that.
Yeah. And then that way he has an option. So it's not lunchtime and you're like, well, I only plan Chinese. Hate it for you, man. You ain't got a choice.
Right.
be like, hey, you know what? I was thinking of you, sir. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. I'm such a good wife that I thought of you and I'm giving you two choices.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And make it sound like it was all for him.
Oh, yes.
I did it all. I know you love these two places. I decided we could do one of these two. So somebody in here, because I know once you get off this call and you get back in the chat, you cannot see the questions, okay? Chat. Somebody asks, do you have an accountability partner?
I have a Marco Polo group that I'm in, but I don't have an individual person.
Okay, well, that's fine.
But I do have a group.
Yeah. Do y'all share your plans?
So I think there's a few that do with each other, but since I'm, you know, not been writing one, I don't share mine with anybody, but I could.
Yes, what's your accountability group's name?
It's Fit by 50. We all turned 50 last year. Yeah.
Fit by 50. This is Coach MJ. All you ladies are now responsible to call Missy out if she does not post her plans in there for y'all every day. Ooh, calling you out. Hashtag Fit by 50.
Well, alrighty then.
Yes. That's how it works. That's how accountability works. Get those ladies on it.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, look, I'm all about external accountability. It doesn't hurt my feelings a bit. Being like, hey, y'all just, I'm not used to doing this.
Yeah.
Call me out. Remind me, please.
Yes.
Well, I'm getting in the habit of it. Nothing wrong with that at all.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when I struggle, I go back to this thought that it's a tool that can help me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to how this can work. So I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You got it. Okay. And your accountability group, Fit by 50, we've gotten several shout outs. They are going to call you out. Okay.
I'll give them the heads up before they listen to tomorrow's podcast.
Yeah, give them the heads up. Tell them they have been called to the carpet to call you out. All right. Alrighty. You have a good night and enjoy the storm.
Thank you.
It's been windy here all day. All right.
I appreciate it, MJ.
Bye-bye. All right. Here we are. You know I have to write this down, y'all. All righty. Let's see. I don't think there's anything in the Q&A right now. All right. Let us see. Lee Pierce. I hope you mean to have your hand raised because you are about to get called on. Lee. Hello.
Hey, girl. What's up?
Not much. How's it going?
Good. I don't think we've coached yet. You're so good. I'm so happy that they hired you. I've loved everything you've put out so far.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right.
So I have stopped journaling, which I never thought was going to happen because it was like one of the first things I took to when I joined, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever.
Okay.
Hey, Laura. And it happened when I started trying to pitch myself as a politics and language expert to the mainstream media. And so I started to get into this like journalism mindset. And I'm an academic. So normally we don't think about like timeliness at all. And I'm sure, you know, being behind the scenes at PNP, you kind of feel what I mean right now where people just like want stuff. And from the minute I wake up in the morning, all I can think about is what if I miss this? What if I miss that? And I never used to have FOMO and now I have FOMO. And so it always seems like something is more important than doing the journaling because I don't want to be late on trying to, you know, tweet at the right time and it just seems to shove journaling out of my mind. Well, no, I let it happen, but that's sort of what it feels like that I'll think about picking up my journal, but I'm afraid to disconnect long enough to actually get into the journaling. I might get in for 2 minutes and then instantly my attention goes someplace. No, not instantly. And then something notifies or whatever happens. And I just turn my attention to that because it seems more important to me than the journaling.
Is it more important than the journaling?
I keep telling myself in the short run it is because I need to get established and once I get a couple of wins under my belt, I can relax, but I just can't imagine that that's true.
Yeah.
So
to be this person, what are you trying to be? Tell me again, a political, and what'd you say?
Like language expert. Like I want people when they want to know, I mean, like why so-and-so said something, I want them to email me instead of, you know, I want to become that person.
Okay.
Right. Right now I'm a nobody who's just getting rejected left and right from pitches. And so it feels like I just have to focus all my energy on that. And then when that gets better, then I can go back to just being calm.
So basically you're selling yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So what version do you think they're going to buy? The best version of you?
Probably not the frantic last minute version that throws stuff together. And like, what's that expression? You throw in the wet spaghetti at the wall or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably not that version. That is true.
Because you're, I mean, that's what you're selling.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to sell them. This is me. I have got your back all the time. I'm your person. I'm your girl. But you're not your own girl.
No, I'm not. And I have noticed it's causing some hiccups because I was late for a meeting the other day, like on Zoom with a new, again, I'm not a business, so I don't have clients, but it was someone who was interested in bringing me on a podcast to talk about politics and language. And I was late and I redeemed myself, but I can't imagine that that left a good feeling in this person's mind. Right.
Yeah.
And I was late because I got caught up trying to follow the latest, whatever, and write up something and send it out. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't have my own back. And also that's going to fall apart as a long-term strategy. Corinne did a really good, you probably listened to it, about the difference between a peak performer and a hustler last month.
Yes.
Did a call with someone and that's exactly how I felt. I feel like I'm hustling and not performing my best.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, we have to do, you were talking about us here, like we have to do that as well. Like, don't think there's not, it's all different time zones. People are posting, people are doing, people are all the stuff, but you have got to be the best version of you in order to sell you.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you're selling them a bruised banana, right? That's the only thing I can think of.
I don't want to be. I was like, that's a specific metaphor. Have you used that somewhere else?
No, yeah. I've never used that in my life. I don't know where it came from, but anyway, it worked. It worked in the moment.
There's this really good Seinfeld episode where Elaine, who's sort of a hot mess, she's like charming, but she's like sort of a mess. And she accidentally switches purse with this woman on the subway. And it shows what, and this other woman's very put together. Her purse is meticulous. She has everything she needs, backup stockings, spare, you know, change for the meter. And it shows what Elaine's life looks like when she has that purse. And then what this other poor lady's look like when she has Elaine's purse.
Right.
And I always keep thinking like, I look like I'm the Elaine's purse right now and not the other lady's purse.
Yeah.
So it feels like, right.
I'm going to show you, I'm really going to show you your model though, because I think
I'd love to see it.
I mean, this is the truth, right?
Yeah. So I love models, man. See, this is why I miss journaling. I love model. I miss my model.
There you go. So no journaling.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. See, I would have made my circumstance pitching the media, but you're modeling my thoughts about the journaling.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you said, I can't because I'm going to be missing out, right?
Yes. Yeah. Which is weird because I never had FOMO before. This was not my thing, but now I feel very FOMO-y about this. Patricia, you should totally watch that Seinfeld. It's so funny.
And then, so how does it feel when you think I'm going to miss out?
Frantic.
Oh, that's always a fun one.
Desperate. Clutchy, high strung.
So, right? So what you do is you don't journal.
Mm-hmm.
You don't work on your thoughts.
No, I just hop into action haphazardly, but it's not like quality action. It's frantic action.
No quality action. You doing, you keeping like at least your time and stuff?
What does that mean?
Like you said, you were late for a meeting. Are you doing like time blocking or?
I try, but I don't. That's always been a struggle, observing the time blocking. But yeah, I mean, I still kind of make an attempt to at least get everything on my calendar that I need to be doing. But then I usually only do about 25% of it. So that would be another action is continuing to what's that? What's Corinne call it? Donk off.
Yeah.
Like on my, Right. Because I'll have something scheduled that needs to get done. But then I'll turn my attention to like, oh, let me look and see what the latest headline is and whether I could pitch a story about that. But that was not on the schedule for the day.
I miss out on the best version of me.
I knew you were going to go there. Yeah, the best. I know, it's true. And I do. And it sucks. Yeah. And I'm not showing up for my accountability group. I mean, I'm never checking in on them anymore because it always feels like there's something more important to do.
Yeah. You're missing out for sure.
Poor other version of me.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now what?
Probably do an intentional model and come up with the thought that I need to start practicing when I tell myself I need to. I hear myself saying, oh, you should really go pitch this story. And then I hear quiet other me going like, yeah, but journal time would be really good for you right now.
How could you get journal time without missing a story?
Well, the truth is I miss stories all the time. I mean, I'm not like if I spend my whole, I mean, the truth is that I'm never going to catch the stories and the journal time is like the bedrock, right? I mean, that's what the journal is, what makes my brain work well. So it's almost like if I'm catching stories in this mode, they're no good for me anyway.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of how I feel. Like if you're giving up journaling to do this, then it's not, whatever you're doing is bad.
Yeah. So whenever you think about not journaling, what do you want to think instead? Cause you're going to hear it again. Oh, you don't want to journal. Like we got to do things.
Yeah. I think the sentence I want to think is that like journaling is part of the deal. Like journaling is the pitching of the story. It's what, where I want to think of it as part of that process and not something that's outside of that process.
Yeah.
So I might think about something like, I don't know. I'm sure I could make it something corny. Like the most important story I write is the story about me, but it is, that's dorky, but I'm a language nerd. Like we're good at that, but that was the sort of sentiment I'm going for. But
yeah.
That's a corny way of saying it. Yeah.
And then how does that make you feel?
I have my own back. Like I love myself. Like patient, like the world can wait and I can take care of myself. I don't know if excited is the word, but it makes me feel like, I don't know, like loved, right? Makes me feel like supported. Whereas pitching the media makes me feel rejected and stupid because I keep getting no's. That's the other thing. I mean, I was thinking about this with COVID-19 and everyone, like when we went into COVID-19, I said, there's so much I can't control right now. The one thing I am going to control is the food I put in my mouth. So I haven't gained any weight. And it's similar with the pitching. It's like, you know, the one thing I can control is whether or not I journal. I can't control whether or not stories get picked up, but I can control journaling. So why would I skip the one thing that makes me feel like I have control right now?
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you for coaching yourself, Lee.
Thank you. I know. Well, you're inspirational.
That was awesome. But it is true, right? Yeah. Something that makes you feel so good, that's the first thing you let go.
Yeah. Well, the thought I used to have a lot was like the journaling is how I nourish myself. I mean, it's my me time. It's my self-care. And sometimes I have this really, really sad thought that I avoid around. The problem too is Mother's Day is coming and my mother died on Mother's Day 7 years ago. And when I really want to motivate myself, I'll say things like, I'm going to sit here and journal right now in the quiet calm, because this is like something my mother never got to do. Right. So sort of that I use like the sadness of her death to motivate me. But this time of year, I tend to shut those thoughts down, even though the rest of the time of year, when it's not so close, they're really motivating. So part of it is I need to get back into the habit of thinking about, if I won't do it for me today, maybe I'll do it for her until I feel like doing it for me.
Yeah.
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 So I have a couple of thoughts that I could use, I think.
Laura says journaling is editing the rough draft of your life.
Oh, is that my partner, Laura?
I don't know. Who's your partner, Laura? What's her last name?
Massey.
Oh, I love Laura Massey.
Yeah, I know. I keep trying to get her to call me her life partner, but she won't. She's just my accountability partner. But one day, one day I'll get it. Yeah.
I call her first. Yes, it is her. It is her.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Lee.
This was awesome, MJ. Thanks so much. Take care
of
yourself.
All right. Bye. Thank you very much. All right. There is a Q&A. Let's see. So Becky says, can you tell me the difference between a overeat and a binge? So a lot of times you can eat a larger amount of food and that is still an overeat. A lot of times bingers, they say that they almost like turn their brain off and they don't really even know what kind of happened until it's over. Like overeating is like, I don't know. It really does. Some people even just call a binge overeating, but it is more of like a, I don't know, almost like an out of body kind of a thing. I am not a binger, but that's kind of how I've heard it described, is that you don't really even know what happened. And like, you just, it's like one thing leads to the next. And like most of the time overeaters, like if I'm going to overeat, like I'll go in the kitchen and overeat. A lot of times bingers will even, like they even have places that they go and they like, they have to get something from here and then they get something from here. Sometimes bingers are like that as well. Yeah. But a lot of times it is just an overeat. You know, a lot of times that's what it is. But yeah, some people do identify as bingers. Yeah, been there on the numbness of eating. Yeah, kind of like that. A lot of people describe it that way. Jacqueline. Oh, look, she's thinking, y'all.
Oh, no, don't share.
Are you there, Jacqueline?
Yeah, hold on, sorry.
There you are.
It took a minute.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for calling on me.
You're very welcome.
I don't even know where to start. I joined back in June, and before joining, I have been listening to the free podcast, and I had started last January with Weight Watchers, and I've done that before. I don't want to do that again, and I don't want to count calories, and I loved the whole idea of the free podcast, and I did lose some weight with the free podcast. But when I joined in June, I had lost about 25 pounds last year, and I really wanted to kind of kick. I'd been kind of stuck and wanted to do the thought work because I do believe that that's what's going to work for me, and that's what I need to do. I stayed at this about the same weight until December. And then between December and now, I have regained almost all of the weight that I lost last year.
Okay.
I plan every day. I've planned every day since March of last year when I started listening to the free podcast. I probably stay on plan. It was about 4 out of 7 days a week. Now it's 5 to 6 out of 7 days a week.
Okay.
I about 5 out of 7 days a week on my hunger scale, but when I go over, it's not a lot. It'll be like maybe a 3 instead of a 2. It's not like a 5 or 6. I am still drinking on my plan. I cut out drinking for a month in November and didn't lose any weight. And I cut out drinking for a couple weeks in February, and it also didn't really affect my weight. So that I keep thinking that maybe I should just cut that out, but I also feel like it's one thing I enjoy and it hasn't made a big difference one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And then I've bumped my exercise up. I'm drinking a gallon of water a day. The sleep I don't quite always hit because my son wakes me up in the middle of the night. So that's probably about 7 hours, maybe a little less. So okay. I could work on that. But I'm just really, I keep gaining. And even like this, the last couple of months, I've re-listened to the No BS program. I've been listening to podcasts. I feel like I keep trying to do other things. And my weight just keeps going up. And so back at the point where I'm starting to think I should be counting calories, which I don't want to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And, but I'm scared that if I don't get a handle on this, I'm just going to keep gaining weight. And that if I was at maintaining, at least I could be trying to figure out what to level up. Right now, I just feel like
I know what is going on. You're very welcome. Okay. Your hunger scale. It's your hunger scale.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Look,
like I'm just off.
There are four basics. Three of them can be measured. You know for sure how much water you drink. You measure it. You know for sure how much sleep you're getting. You know for sure if you're writing your plan and assessing your plan, right?
Yeah.
The only thing you don't know for sure that is very subjective in your brain is that hunger scale. That's it. If you are doing like a boss, three of the four things, 95% of the time, it is your hunger scale. Now,
so is it that like I think that I'm eating to two, maybe three, and I'm probably more likely eating to like a four or five?
Yep.
Okay.
That's exactly what I saw. You know, have you seen these people in the membership right now doing the little yellow bowl?
Yeah, I didn't know like, what that was about.
Control. So some of the women that joined last time decided to get a little yellow bowl, okay, to control their portions as they got started because they really, whatever. And so I saw a post, it was so good the other day, of one of these ladies who has the little yellow bowl, and she knew that that was like her too, right? And so she left half her food the other day. And she was like, there's no way. Like, I'm already just eating this little amount. Should I overfill my little yellow bowl? What do I need to do? And she was like, there's no way. I'm already eating such a small amount. She ate half of the bowl. She posted in the membership. She was satisfied for 3 hours.
That's funny.
But she ate half the bowl. But she had gotten so used to, this is my two. And so her brain was like, oh, okay, we finished this bowl, without even questioning it.
Right.
So she went through all the drama of the little yellow bowl. She left half of it, and that was her two. And she was like, what? Is this even a thing? She couldn't even believe it. Right? And so that is the whole thing. Like, and she really did believe all along it was her plus two. She really believed it. And so it does take like dialing it back and becoming super curious. That on the clock challenge is so good. Did you do that last week?
I didn't do it last week. I've done it before. I mean, maybe I'm just really off. Like maybe what I think is my plus two just really isn't. And I just, cause I keep thinking like it's the foods, I'm eating too many carbs, or I'm doing this or that. And it's,
and this is what I would do, you know, cause I did say 95%, it's your hunger scale, right? Sometimes it is like certain things don't work well in your body, whatever. But before I start eliminating crap, I would leave half of my food for a week.
Okay.
I honest to gosh, that's exactly what I would do. And I got coached on this. I got coached on this when I was losing weight. Kathy Hartman coached me on it. And so this is where this all comes from. But literally, that was it. That was it. That was my magic bullet. That's what got my thing moving. I was way eating too much and had no clue.
Yeah.
I had just the signals I had identified as my plus two were not.
Okay.
So this is what I would do. I would leave a lot behind for a week. Like just be super curious. I'm just wanting to know. You can even, if you would like, add a couple of extra snacks on your plan in case you get hungry in the middle of the day. But before I would eat any of that, I would do the on the clock challenge just to see, make sure that you're really hungry.
Okay.
And leave half your meals and then see what happens in a week. And then if for some reason, like you're like the scale did not budge, do that for a week or, I mean, give yourself a little bit of time, week and a half, see what happens. If you notice the scale is not budging at all, then post your plans and ask coaches and we'll, or come on to office hours and bring them with you and we'll figure out what to do next. But I'm telling you, everybody I have given this advice to has lost weight.
Okay.
Every single person. I mean, and a lot of times it is like, but I'm eating so much less, but I'm right. Like, that's like the thought that comes behind it a lot. So that's usually where that comes from, but I'm doing so much better than I was.
yeah, I'm eating healthy, I'm exercising, I'm doing these things. Like, of course I should be losing weight. And then the scale goes up and it's just, you feel like you're broken. And I know that's not the right thought, but I'm like, why isn't this? And you see, you know, people that are doing so well in the program, I just think, what am I doing wrong? I'm doing something wrong. But that maybe that's, I just really haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. But you'll get it. I'm telling you, it was magic for me. It was absolute magic.
Okay. Okay. Well, I know what I need to work on.
Yeah. Like, seriously, that's exactly where I would start. Okay. Before you start bringing stuff off and all that mess, like, no point in that right yet. I would seriously work on my two.
Okay.
And just see what happens. And like I said, I mean, we're always here. So, I mean, you can always hop on office hours every Wednesday or just post and ask coaches and we'll be more than happy to look at your, like what you're eating in like a week or two. If you've not, like, if you're still going up, post again.
Okay.
That's what we're here for.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Look, that's what we're, I mean, and the beauty of it is we all lost weight on this program. Right. So like between the three of us, me and Betsy and Kathy, like, we've done all the things. Like, we've had stalls, we've had plateaus, we've had to work through them, you know, so we got you.
Well, and I have to tell you, I love your calls. Like, I have your not on my plan, not in my mouth, not on my ass on every single plan I do. And, I just like how honest you are about talking about wine and stuff. Cause I know a lot of us not struggle, but are trying to figure all that out. So I just really appreciate your honesty. Like, I really do enjoy your.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, we talk about Corinne all the time and like how she listens and all the stuff. Like, the day after we did that drinking call the last time, it was such a big response. She went ahead and put it on the calendar in May. There's another one scheduled closer to the end. Yeah. Cause it was such a huge response. Like, so many women are struggling with it right now. And trying to develop a different relationship with alcohol. So it was really, really good. And I enjoyed it and I'm looking forward to it myself. So
good. That's good. Yeah. It was good for me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, it was good to see you. Thank you. Let us know how it goes.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, she left. Okay. Somebody says, where do I find the On the Clock Challenge? If you go and look through the massive action lines on the website, you can see the On the Clock Challenge from last week. But basically all it is when you notice that you're hungry or you think you're hungry, you drink 16 ounces of water. If you're really new, then you can set a timer for 15 minutes, but really the goal is to work yourself up to an hour. If you've been around the block, if you're like an OG, you can go ahead and do the hour and then just notice your hunger cues during that time. And a lot of times you find that you weren't hungry really at all. And sometimes even at the end of the hour, you get busy and you're like, wait, was I supposed to? Oh, wait, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. Sorry. So yeah, but that is what the On the Clock Challenge is. That is what it will do for you. And it helps you with your, helps you with your negative two. Kristen Lockett says, what is she referring to? You're not on my plan. So, I came up with something when I was a member that I used to say at work all the time. And it was my mantra, not on my plan, not in my mouth, not on my ass. That's what I said. And somebody even made me a towel with it. It's hanging in my kitchen. So that was like, and I even had people at work that used to say it to me. They would offer me a hot donut and I'd be like, not on my plan, not in my mouth, not on my ass. No. So that was my weight loss mantra. Still is my mantra. So let us see. Robin. Let us see what Robin has got to say to us today. Robin.
Hi.
Hello.
There we are.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I am great.
Good. So this is my first time coaching.
Okay. I'm excited.
I am excited. I'm kind of nervous, but... I joined in January.
Okay.
And I have lost about 10 pounds and I'm pretty happy with that.
That is awesome.
Yeah. But I'm definitely a person that goes up and down, up and down. So I'm trying to catch my downs before they get too down, before I go back up. But my thing that I'm trying to, a thought I'm trying to work on is I like to eat large quantities of food. Like I used to be in the fasting community before this, you know, because I could fast for 3 days as long as I could eat the whole pizza when I got done. And so I really miss that. I have a hard time with the hunger scale because I don't get to eat a lot of food, you know, so I just needed some help working on that, I guess.
Right. So you have a pattern. You used to be a faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would eat all the things.
Yes. And I would look forward to it. And it would.
Well, I mean, hell yeah, I'd eat for 3 days. I've been looking forward to it too.
I didn't do that very many times.
Yeah.
I could even just wait and eat till dinner and thinking, okay, well, I can have a big dinner because I didn't eat all day. But I know that's diet mentality and I need to change that thought. So
why do you, I mean, you, what do you think? Like, what does that give you to eat all the food?
Freedom?
Because it's got to have a payoff. You're only doing it because it's giving you something.
Because I want to, I guess. It's something I get to do, something I really want to do that I get to do. I don't really know that what it gets me, but I get so angry when I can't eat all the food. Like, if I can only have one piece of pizza, I'd just rather not have any pizza. If I can't have three pieces, then I'll just go without type of mentalities. And
right. So tell me the last time this happened. Tell me about the last time this went on, that you had a something like this.
Well, today I did have two small bowls of ice cream because I was just like, I'm frustrated. I like to overeat when I'm frustrated. Like if I'm sitting at my desk and doing something I don't enjoy very much, which we all have to do things we don't enjoy very much, but and I'm a small business owner. My husband and I own a window cleaning business, so we're working all the time from home, but I don't even... Last night I ate half of a small pizza just because I was like, I'm just going to eat how much I want to eat.
Okay.
So, but it doesn't get me where I want to be. And I know, I mean, I've had this problem for a long time and I know it's something I'm going to have to fix if I want to be successful at losing weight.
Right. So you ate a half a pizza and you thought as you were eating it, you were thinking what?
Well, at least there's no more pizza available for me to eat. So I know, but you were thinking,
you probably had the thought of, I probably should kind of stop, right? Did you ever have that thought?
Yeah.
And then you thought instead, what was your reason?
I have a hard time with this. Just because I want to.
Right? Because I can.
Because I can, maybe? Yeah. But it's like a rebellious thing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you like people telling you what to do?
No, not usually.
I don't know how to spell rebellious, but that's close enough. So when you feel you eat the half a pizza as you are feeling rebellious, what are you thinking as you're feeling rebellious?
I guess it's that quick satisfaction, that quick.
But what are you thinking? Like, what thoughts are going through your head?
I have a hard time with this, knowing what my thoughts are. Just that I just want to do this. I just want to. Something I just want to do.
Okay. So what do? You eat the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you do?
I'm pretty good about not snacking afterwards when I get to eat as much as I want all at once.
Do you ever feel bad or beat yourself up about it?
Probably not as bad as I should.
Why should you beat yourself up about it? You make a choice. You made a choice to eat half a pizza.
Yeah. I'm like, I made this choice and
so you
I shouldn't.
So your action is you should just beat the crap out of yourself?
No.
No. Okay. So you have the pizza, a little bit of negative self-talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you went over your hunger scale. No hunger scale. Did you do a discovery worksheet?
No, I've only done
shucks. No discovery worksheet.
Yes, that's probably what I need to do.
Oh, and then you don't get what you ultimately want.
Right. Then I'm too full. I don't sleep well. And I just know in the back of my mind that was not a good decision.
No sleep.
Yeah.
Tummy hurts.
Yeah.
So I don't get what I really want. What do you really want?
Well, I really want to fit in all the clothes in my closet, but I don't act like that most of the time. So.
Yeah. Well, because you have this thought, I just want to.
Yeah. That thought gets me a lot. Same with alcohol. I mean, I do the same thing. I'm like, I just want to. It's only one drink, you know, so.
I saw something, y'all. It was so good. I was reading something today and it like, I don't know. I had my own aha moment. I don't know. Y'all might not be as aha about it as me. I am a recovering procrastinator, right? Like I still do some jobs. Let's be honest. So somebody said, it said, we are so good at procrastinating what serves us in the long term, but we're about something that will help us long term, but we're not good at procrastinating in the now. So like if you have an urge, you're not good at procrastinating. You're like Johnny on the spot to go get up and get some ice cream. You don't procrastinate that, right? Like there's like all this like short-term procrastination that we're not doing and we need to build that up a little bit. I was like, that's what I need to work on, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, like I'm not good at procrastinating taking another bite, you know, but I'll for sure procrastinate, you know, writing in a journal or whatever it is. I just thought that was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was like, I need to work on my procrastination skill. So yeah. So you need what you really need in the moment is to decide, what do I really want?
Yeah, it's true. I need to, the pre-urge worksheet, I really like that. I've only done that once also, but it's really good.
Yeah.
I gotta figure out how to get around the, I just want it and I deserve
it. I'm gonna tell you.
I'm the I deserve it girl all the time, so.
Yeah, I deserve it. Justified, rebellious, all the same stuff. And I don't get what I really deserve. Right. Same model. Same model.
It's so true.
It sounds so good. It's really not at all. No. It really doesn't get you anywhere, does it?
I need a print and discovery worksheets and stash them all over the kitchen. So
I'm going to tell y'all, y'all think I'm crazy. When I started doing the discovery worksheets, I had them in my car. I had them in my office. I had them on my countertop. I had them in my living room. I had them everywhere that there could be, that you could put them. And right. Then Kathy Hartman even said, tape it to what you normally overeat.
I was like, I heard that.
I wish to goodness I had had that whenever I was losing weight. I mean, it worked out okay for me, but I sure had them everywhere.
Yeah.
I sure had them everywhere.
I just get in this rebellious mindset and it lasts for a week and then I'll be really good for like 3 weeks. And then but I've got to stop the pattern. I mean, it's been going on for years. So I'm really good for a while and then I fall off.
I know the other thing you've really got to drop, you're not good or bad either time. You just make choices.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there's not good Robin and bad Robin. It's just Robin. And sometimes Robin makes choices that gets her to weight loss. And sometimes Robin doesn't.
Right. That's really good. Yeah, because I definitely think of it as good and bad. And that's not the way to think about it.
But that's not, it's just you. Because if overeating is bad and eating a half a pizza is bad and you're the one doing it, therefore you are bad.
That's me beating myself up. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a choice.
Huh. Yeah, that's very true. So
yeah.
But all the other three basics are down pat, but the hunger scale, I don't like it.
So did you plan a half a pizza?
No, I planned pizza. I planned.
Okay.
So I always plan like a recipe, whatever we're going to have for dinner that night. To my hunger scale, but I am not very good at stopping at my hunger scale recently. So.
Yeah. What's your compelling reason?
I mean, to fit into my clothes, I have a closet full of clothes and I only fit into like three pairs of pants, you know, and my husband's an ultra runner. I'm a runner. So, I mean, I've been running for years too, and I want to be skinnier because the skinnier you are, the faster you go. And I could fit in with our friends, you know, I can stay caught up with them and so on and so forth. And,
so why are you not reminding yourself of that?
I do at the time but the food overrides it.
Did the food override it?
My thoughts about the food override it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just maybe need to do some more journaling.
You need to start filling out those discovery worksheets.
Okay.
You need to start filling out those pre-urge worksheets. And you need to start, like, are you journaling every day?
I'm doing a plan every day and I journal, but it's usually like two or three sentences. So
I would write, honest to gosh, every day. It says like on the thing, it says like my compelling reason or story, what I'm believing about myself today. I would legit write five things I want.
Okay.
Start your day off with that.
That's a good idea.
Start your day off with that. And when you hear the thought, I just want it. What do you just want?
Right. What do you really just want? Yeah.
Yeah. And then that'll make you, you know, then it'll be like a little pattern interrupt. And will you sometimes choose to eat the pizza and overeat? Sure. Yeah. And that's not bad. It's just a choice.
Right.
It's an opportunity to learn.
Yeah, I think I need to focus on those discovery worksheets some more.
Corinne always says, never waste and overeat.
Yeah, I've heard her say that. So, yeah.
So, and that's what you want to work on too.
Yes.
That's what you want to work on.
Don't waste a learning opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to do that. I'm going to print about 30 of them right now and stash them everywhere.
That's a good idea. That is a great idea. That's what I would do. That's exactly where I would start. And then really focus on what do you really want? I mean, if that's your thought, what do you want?
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And it's going to take practice and that's okay.
And yes.
It's not good and it's not bad.
I know I'm going to get this at the end. I have no doubt about that, but I just need a little help along the way. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Okay,
it was good to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. Thank you.
All right. Bye. There we go. All right, y'all. That was really good. I like that a lot. I know it's so hard, y'all. I'm telling you, it just takes so much practice to change your thoughts. It's so worth it to just stop yourself in the minute and be like, what do I really want? Whenever I think that, like, that'll stop you sometimes. Really will stop you. Katrina. Katrina. Hello, Katrina.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Oh my goodness.
Hey.
I didn't know if you were going to call on me.
Well, here I am and here you are.
I'm a newbie. I just started in April.
Well, hello.
Here. Hi, thank you. I'm struggling with the model, and I watched your whole lesson on that a couple of weeks ago, and then I also listened to one that Coach Kathy did a while back. I listened to the podcast on that, but I'm still having trouble with the result line and the action line. I can get the circumstance. I can get the feeling just fine. But I'm struggling with the last two.
Okay.
Like I have an example if you can help me work through it.
Yes, I'll write. Look, you're going to better read it, but I'm going to write down anyway. Okay, go ahead. What you got?
Okay, so I was having issues with my boss today. He just wasn't being, well, I thought he wasn't being very nice. So the circumstance was that I talked to my boss.
Okay. Okay.
And then the thought I have out of it is that my boss thinks I'm an idiot.
Okay.
So my feeling was pissed.
Okay. So far, so good.
Cool. And then I kind of get stuck with the action and the result line.
Okay. So you talk to your boss and he said some words. Mm-hmm. And you said some words. And then you have the thought that he thinks you're an idiot and you get pissed. What did you do? Tell me what happened after that.
I did a TDL.
Okay, you did TDL. That was a good one.
Thanks.
What else?
And I did the model.
Did the model. What else?
I just kind of stayed in the mode of being pissed.
How did that show up for you in your day?
By journaling.
So you're pissed and you're like, I'm just going to sit and I'm going to write in my journal. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yes, that's what happened.
Okay, so you didn't have any thought, like, you didn't, like, have negative thoughts about your boss.
Oh, well, I thought he was also an idiot. So it went both ways.
Right, so you have negative thoughts about boss.
Yes.
And then, what did you think about yourself and how you showed up in the situation?
I didn't like that I was letting it affect me.
Okay, so then you beat yourself up after the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Did you, like, talk to other people about it?
Not with this case. I usually do, though.
Okay. And then you've been stewing on it all evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll use Corinne's favorite word, ruminate.
It's a good word.
I know. It is a great word. What else? Did you eat, overeat, any of the stuff?
Mm-mm.
You didn't do any of the other stuff?
Nope.
So, and then what else are you, like, what did you not do? Were you supposed to do something today that maybe you didn't do?
Maybe there was something I could have done for my boss and chose not to do it.
Yeah. Chose not to help boss.
Yeah.
What else?
That's all I can think of. Oh, I went to the Facebook group and I asked to start an accountability about TDLs.
Okay. But that is coming from a thought of probably even this TDL thought, even this TDL action is coming from, I'm not going to let him mess me up.
That's true.
I'm not going to let this mess me up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't TDL and, like, do all unicorn things with a thought of my boss thinks I'm an idiot and pissed.
What is unicorn things?
Huh?
What is unicorn things?
Like unicorn, like I'm like unicorns and rainbows and daisies, like paint a happy picture. Like I'm going to go start an accountability. I'm pissed. So I'll go start an accountability group and then I'm going to TDL and I'm going to journal all of my thoughts. That does not usually come from piss. It comes from, I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm not going to let him control me. I'm not going to let him control my outcome.
So should it be a different feeling?
No, you're still pissed because really, I mean, I put TDL down here, but this is what's coming from piss. Negative thoughts, beat yourself up, ruminate, and choose not to help your boss.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming from pissed.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then your result is that you don't show up like you want to. Right? Because you could have 100% like I want. Okay. Because when he thought that you were an idiot, you get pissed. You start to have negative thoughts about him. You beat yourself up over it a little bit. You stew on it all evening. You could have like reached out and helped him. You chose not to do that stuff. So you didn't show up exactly like you wanted to show up in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then you also, though, at the same time, had another model running. The model of, I'm not going to let this affect me, determined, write a TDL, reach out for accountability, get on a coaching call, all the things.
So I had an intentional model running.
You had a different model running, yes. I mean, which we do. We have 60,000 thoughts a day. They're all running something going on back there. Mm-hmm. And it was also unintentional. You didn't even know you were thinking it.
That's
but
true.
It was producing the rest of the model for you. So the unintentional model has a thought that we are not intending to think, right? Mm-hmm. So you, as soon as you talk to him, you're like, he thinks I'm an idiot, right? Yeah. And so like you didn't intentionally set out to have that thought. It was just like, that's what popped into your head. Yeah. And unbeknownst to you, there was another thought going on. Like, this isn't going to affect me. I'm not going to let him ruin my day. He's not going to derail my weight loss. Like whatever that thought was. Mm-hmm. And then that's the one that got you to do the other things.
Gotcha. So you say that the result is a reflection of the thought line.
Yeah. Like, so I didn't call you an idiot. I mean, you didn't show up like an idiot, but like, it doesn't have to be exact.
Okay.
So he didn't, he thinks that you're not really showing up like you should. And now you think you don't really, you're not really showing up like you should. Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, basically that's the mirror of it. It doesn't have to be word for word.
Okay.
Yeah. So he thinks I'm not doing my best. I'm not doing my best, basically.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
Do you have any tips for how I can get to that, those last two going forward?
Yes. So you see how I kept asking you questions about, yeah. And then we went back and checked, like you're doing all these positive things. Positive things don't come from pissed. So you really have to dig around and find out what you are actually doing based on this model.
Okay.
Because normally, like, pissed people don't go out and, like, do super positive things. That's not normally how that plays out.
Sure. That makes sense.
So, yeah. And you also can check with your thought. Like, when you think, you know, you can also go back and say, is this really coming from my boss thinks I'm an idiot? Does that really make me feel pissed? Like, really think about, you kind of just check back up your model.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, if you, like, whenever you're explaining a model to somebody too, like you say, I would say to you, like you talked to your boss and you had, how does that make you, you know, what does that make you think? And then you gave me the thought and then I'll go back. You talked to your boss. Then you had a thought that he thinks you're an idiot. How does that make you feel? Like you want to keep going back and checking to make sure that you're still in the same model.
Okay.
That there's not some other random thought out there.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so you just kind of keep checking back with yourself.
Okay, I'll be practicing this. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And they're going to do another, Betsy's doing another model call in May as well.
Awesome, I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. I know, I like doing it.
Yeah, I'm excited to get it down. Thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right. You know, I have to write it down, y'all. There we go. That was fun. She's a cutie pie. That's must be one of Corinne's babies, because she sure enough looked younger than me for sure, because I'm not that young. I'm getting older. My husband had a birthday yesterday too. Mr. Coach MJ had a thing yesterday, which is awesome. Let us see. Who is next? Promote. I don't know your name. Quentin? I don't know who this is. Hello?
Hello? Hello.
Hey, what's your name?
Kelly.
Kelly.
Yes.
How's it going, Kelly?
Well, I'm doing a little bit better this evening after listening to you. And then I went to the coaching page and I just saw this while I was watching because I didn't think I got answered. And so I thought I'd come to you. And I'm doing a little bit better, but I am struggling or feeling depressed.
Okay.
And feeling, and I brought it to the over 55 group last night, and they suggested I come on the call as well, so to get some help.
So tell me what is going on.
New, number one. So I think the best decision I've made for myself is coming to this, joining this.
Okay.
And struggled all my life with overeating and being overweight and not thinking I basically don't like myself at all, and have struggled with that all for a long time.
So, okay.
And I don't feel like I've done some of the journaling. I don't know how to like myself or love myself, basically.
Okay.
And feel like it's not. I've tried and tried and tried, and why bother any longer?
Okay. So what are some thoughts that you're having? Or like when is the last time that this kind of came up for you that you were like kind of really beating yourself up and all that kind of stuff and like really speaking kind of ugly to yourself? When is like, tell well, me some it's stuff. That's a, going-
it's done on a daily basis, but I don't verbalize it.
Yeah.
It's just there. And I just, but last night it just came to the head and I began to just say, okay, I need to deal with this because it's not doing me any good. And I don't know how to deal with it. So,
okay.
But so that's why I said, okay.
So what happened yesterday?
What caused me to think that way? Just, failing my plan, I guess.
So like you didn't follow your plan yesterday, right?
I didn't follow my plan yesterday.
Okay.
Got angry at myself for not doing it. Like,
so
I did.
What was your thought? What was your thought? You were angry. What were you thinking that made you angry?
I'm not successful at anything. Like this area, this particular thing in my life, I'm successful at other things, but I can't be successful in this.
So you're not successful in weight loss is what you were thinking.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you do?
Give up and beat myself up and eat.
So did you eat more last night?
Yep.
Okay. And what else did you do? You were talking ugly to yourself.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. I don't want to say suicidal thoughts, but thoughts of giving up, just giving up totally.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have thoughts of suicide?
No, just thoughts of wanting to die, but not thoughts of how to do it. Just like, it's not worth it anymore type thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so your result is, I mean, it's just as simple as, you know, you're eating and doing the things, right? And so, you know, then you don't find success at weight loss, right? So that is... Right. You know, that's kind of the cycle that you're on, right?
I'm on a cycle and I can't get out of that cycle. Yeah.
Right. So what are some things that you think about yourself? Like what's like the big one that like always comes up for you?
I'm fat and ugly.
Okay. And that's what kind of keeps repeating in your head all the time.
I'm the other thought. So that one, and I no good.
Okay.
And it'd be better off without me.
Yeah. So we're going to go through these. And then, so I'm fat. Is that true?
Yep.
Who says?
My scale. I'm obese. Doctor.
You know what? Hey, you want me to tell you something? So am I. I'm overweight. Well, on the BMI scale.
I'm morbidly obese on the BMI scale.
So if
I'm a medical provider, so that's truth.
If you met someone on My 600-Pound Life, you are at their goal weight.
Mm-hmm.
True. If you said to them, I am fat, they would be like, girl, you don't even know. You have no idea. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not true. It can only be true if everybody in the world agrees. That is when it's a fact. Now, you weigh whatever pound you weigh, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are a person who is working on it. You are a person who has not given up on herself, because here you are. You reached out to ask coaches and you reached out to me tonight.
Mm-hmm. I get, because I'm desperate. Wow.
You still, you know what though? You still have some hope.
Yeah.
So you have not given up on yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you do still somewhere know that you are worth taking this time. Somewhere in there is that. Because if it were not, you would not have written out into Ask Coaches. You wouldn't have posted in the 55 and over group. You would not have been on this call.
Right. How do I stop that cycle? How do I stop that? What do I... One thing that was in the thing suggestion that I just read was do the self-love course. I've not heard of that course.
Yeah.
So I need to do
if
that.
You, but this is the whole thing. That. You're going to want to go through No BS. So if you've not finished No BS, then you'll go through No BS.
No. Yeah.
And then you can do the self-love course. There are prompts in there that kind of help you, you know, it talks you through kind of how to talk to yourself and to kind of uncover kind of what I just did. Like the whole thing is when a lot of times when you have negative self-talk in your head, it's a fact. It is like I could go before a judge and it is a fact, right?
Right. Right.
A lot of times it is just recognizing that they're not facts at all. They're just sentences in our head that can be disproven. They're not true. Like you said, I'm no good. Is that true?
My head knows it, I guess. It's a thought that, but at the same, I don't know if it's a feeling or it's like been in me since a child. Like I'll never amount to anything. Would I know appear, but it needs to be a part of me, I guess, that's not true.
Do you know how it becomes a part of you? I'm going to tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Practice.
Okay.
And that is the honest to gosh, I'm not even lying right now. That thought, I am fat, is going to come up 1,000 times a day. I am no good is going to come up 1,000 times a day. And it is honestly, that is just not true. I'm just not going to believe that about myself anymore because it's not even true.
So just keep, as much as those thoughts come in, just keep saying
as many times as you've thought them in the past, you will think the new thought that many times. So right now, before we get off this call, you're going to tell me 5 things that you're good at.
Okay. 5 things.
Yes.
That's not easy to do, to think something good about yourself.
I would have no trouble whatsoever, but go ahead.
Because you've worked on this, I'm sure.
I actually, do you know what? I've probably done that self-love course about 4 times.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I guess I'm good at giving things away.
Okay.
I'm good. I'm a nurse practitioner, and I do believe I am good at caring for people.
Okay. You got 3. I know you have 3 more in you.
Oh.
Can I give you one?
Yeah.
You are great at reaching out for help when you need it. Do you know how many people would stew and stew and stew and stew and stew and not reach out for help? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. Well, I've been doing that a long time, and that's why I got to do something different. And feeling guilty right now, being on here, getting the attention, and not, I there's so many people that need, I've raised my hand thinking she's probably not going to call on me and listening to other things. So it's,
do you know how many people struggle with self-love in this membership?
I'm sure a lot.
Ton. Do you know how much your call is going to help people? A ton of people. A ton.
Okay. Well, I'm good at that then, huh?
Yes.
So, I'm good at that.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So one more thing you have to give me. So we have, you're good at giving things away and helping people. You're great at being a nurse practitioner and caring for people. You are great at asking for help. What else are you good at?
Decorating.
Oh, I am not. You have me beat on that one. Decorating. So the thought that I'm no good, the big old fat goose egg lie that you tell yourself. Mm-hmm. This is the whole thing. Those are just thoughts that have you've been practicing and practicing and practicing. And when you practice a thought for so long, you start to believe that it's true. You start to own it as who you are.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And you forget that there may be some wiggle room because you don't ever question it. You never think could this really be true? And then even if somebody says, could it be true? You're like, yeah, just like whenever I question you about being fat, right? It's so, you're so married to the thought that you can't even tell that it's not true.
Yeah.
And that is what I always, if I really have a thought that I am like 100% married to. Like, I am all on board with it. Like, it is 100% my thought and I own it and it's my belief. I always say, can one person on the planet disagree with me? One person. And if they can, it's not a fact. It's not true.
You'd make a good lawyer.
I'll just settle for being a good life coach. How about that?
Yeah, you are that too.
I love y'all in here. I'm staying right where I am.
Okay. Thank you for taking the time to do this.
You know what? You're absolutely welcome. And we are always in Ask Coaches. If you need, you know, if you start going through those prompts and you want to, you know, whatever, it sounds like you've got some great accountability over in the 55 and over group. Those are some sweet ladies over there. Sweet, sweet, sweet ladies over there. Vern is saying she does an I am worth it statement every day. Some kind of I am worth it every day. And I think she's in the 55 and over group. There's some great ladies over there. I'm just telling you. Jesus, there's some nice women. So always reach out to them. And look, this is what we're here for, right? Every single person, when somebody raises their hand and they come on a call, when you raise your hand, there are 9,000 members. There's probably 1,000 women behind you going, and I'm exactly the same way. And I'm exactly the same way. So, I mean, it's true. Now look, and if you find yourself spiraling, you do want to reach out and get some like professional help. And maybe, you know, I don't want you to sit around and spiral and think that and get so like down. You're a nurse practitioner. You know what that kind of help can give you as well. You know, it's not all, sometimes it's not just about changing your thoughts. Sometimes there's a chemical thing going on. And, you know, that might be something that you want to look at because I don't like the fact that you're having some icky thoughts.
Okay.
And we are with you. We're behind you every step of the way. Whatever you do, all the things, we are behind you 100%.
Thank you.
Yeah. And just go and ask coaches. It's usually me.
Okay.
I'm the one that gave you the advice of taking a self-love course. It was me. It was me.
It was you.
It was wow. Me. So you've talked
this
to me twice today.
This is the first time I've met. That's right. And this is the first time I've met you or seen you. So this is
good. Oh, okay. It is your lucky day.
It is.
All right. Listen.
Okay.
Cindy Switzer. I was going to call you out, Cindy Switzer. She's in the 55 group. Listen, she's my person. I love me some Cindy Switzer, and she's the kindest, nicest lady. And I am, Cindy, I want you to check up on her in your little group over there. She's awesome. All right.
You have
a great night, and just start writing down all this crap.
Look. Thank you.
Post them all in Ask Coaches. I'll tell you exactly how they're all a big old fat goose egg lie. Just post them. I'll use my lawyering skills that I have. All right. I will see you.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
She is so sweet. Oh my gosh. She's so sweet. All righty. Kristen Lockett. Let's see what happens. What happens? Hello.
Can you see me? I don't know how this works.
I am going to ask to start your video and you should see it pop up on your screen.
Yep.
You got it?
Yes.
How is it going?
It's great. Everything's great. I just love listening to you. This is my first time doing a call. I just started in April.
Well, welcome. We are so happy you are here.
Thank you. I think I'm journaling every day I really haven't lost a lot. I think I've really spent, I've been on, you know, every diet like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I think I've spent so much time, I'm still going through no BS. I think I've spent so much time just trying to unlearn a lot of my diet rules and just feel like figure out what it looks like, you know, every, you know, like the daily, you know, process I'm supposed to go through, yeah. Journaling and then following up and listening to the no BS and watching the podcast and doing everything, that I, you know, I'm still learning that I can like eat other things and not have to, you know, and then working from home and everything and all the, you know, schedule and all that. So, I'm just very happy with how the program has helped me so far. My question is, I've never been a journaler and I've always, you know, since this has started, I've questioned whether or not it would help me, but I'm doing it anyway, just thinking that, you know, I'm just going to keep at it and it's going to get easier. So I've listened to that part of things, but
I also, there are two things here, I guess. I don't overanalyze way too much. So when I'm journaling, I definitely am thinking about like, okay, this needs to help me. So make sure you do it right. Yeah. But then I also hear you guys in my head saying, just do it. Keep doing it. And when I get to, I'm okay with doing my circumstance. I'm okay with doing my thought. And I think even my feeling, I'm getting better at that. And I feel confident in that. But when I get down to the action and the result, I don't know if I'm supposed to be writing what I should be, what actually happened and what my result actually was, or what my result's going to be.
Okay.
And then in the what's the second one called?
The intentional model.
The one I do, the model.
Yeah. You have the unintentional model and the intentional model.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Sorry. Go ahead.
You have the unintentional and the intentional.
When I do the intention model, hang on, I don't know why I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Hold on a minute. There you go. Now you're coming back.
I'm better now. Sorry. So for the intentional model there too, I don't know if I'm supposed to be writing. I know how to switch over to like a thought that I want to think, but I don't know there. Are my actions supposed to be my future actions and what I want as a result. So that's where I'm stuck.
Right. Okay. So you have some that happen, right? You have a circumstance, something happens.
Right.
Somebody says something to you, something happens. You overeat, whatever it is. You unintentionally, automatically have a thought. I shouldn't have done that. That was stupid. I'm never going to figure this out. I wish I could, I wish I need to do better. I should have done better. I should have made a different choice. Whatever your thought is. You write out how that thought plays out for you. The one that you did not mean to think, it just kind of popped into your head. You're like, where did that thought come from? It just pops into your head. You work that through your model. So you have, you know, overeat. You think, I should never have said that. When you think that, what did you think? What did you feel automatically? What happened in that moment? Right? Like disappointed, aggravated.
Right.
Pissed, whatever it is.
I see how that thought and then the feeling comes instantly.
Do you show up? Maybe you continue to eat. Maybe you don't fill out a discovery worksheet. Maybe you beat yourself up in your head. You don't sleep well that night because you've overeaten. But like whatever happens, and then your result is the result of those actions, and it usually mirrors mirrors your thought.
That's the other part that I'm not sure of. So like today I had one Hershey kiss and then it turned into like six.
Okay.
So, and that happened so quick. You know, my thought was honestly that it's that time of the month. And I think, you know, this is normally what happens. I know that I shouldn't be doing this, but I know it's only going to be today. And then it's usually over after today. So it was that instant. I had my thought. My feeling was that I was, I don't know, either frustrated or disappointed that I would, you know, give into it knowing what I know. But it just happened. It did happen so quick, but I did have the thought. So I know that that happened. My action, I guess, is that
Wait, hold on a minute. Let's back up because, you know, I'm right and I'm not very quick with it. What was your thought?
My thought was that it was my time in the month. My period was coming.
Okay.
So this is, you know, the chocolate, I definitely like almost feel like unconsciously, subconsciously, whatever, I'm going for chocolate, even though I hadn't even thought about it up until that second.
Okay. You know? It's my time of the month. And then you feel what?
I do feel probably like anxious to have it and kind of disappointed at the same time that I, okay, that I just instantly went for it within like, you know, just a couple minutes.
Okay. So was it on, so that's your feeling, action. What was your action?
So my action was that I mean, I ate the Hershey Kisses.
Were they on plan? They were on plan?
No.
Okay.
No, they weren't.
Off plan. Did you overeat them?
I mean, no, I wouldn't like fill up on Hershey Kisses. Like it's not okay. I mean,
did you fill out a discovery worksheet?
No.
You're still thinking about it now. So have you been thinking about it during the day?
Yes. It was just an hour and a half ago.
Did you kind of, are you like beating yourself up a little bit that you shouldn't have done it? Maybe you should have controlled yourself. So you negative self-talk.
Because I was on plan the rest of the day and then that just blew it.
And then this is your result. I give away my power.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't have to match, but you gave your power to the power of the period.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you did. You gave away your power.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so if it is the lesson in the fact that I get to the result and I see the connection, or is it just sometimes is it just the fact that I get it out of my, get it out of my head? Okay, because I'm happy with both of those.
Because this is why. Well, this is why it's so important, or it is important. This sounds so justifiable. It was my time of the month. Like, of course I was going to have chocolate. Like, it's out of my control. I can't really help it. Like, it's my period's fault. It's not my fault. It's my period's fault that I ate the six Hershey Kisses, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what you find out, though, is that it was just you giving away your power. Was not your period at all. It was you choosing to blame something else outside of you for the kisses, the six kisses. So
this is how the result is directly related to your thought. Like that's how the connection. Okay. Okay. I just like to learn, figure out what the lesson is behind it because I've never bought into journaling, but I know I get the whole thing. It's just
so that you know that this thought. Is not, but this is not a journal. This is a model.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So the journal part comes, the TDL or journal or whatever you want to call it, comes when you, like that brain dump that Corinne talks about, when you write all of your thoughts down on a piece of paper.
Okay.
Okay. That is the TDL, the thought download, the model, I mean, the journal, the whatever you want to call it, the brain dump, all of that. It's just that collection of like, this is what happened. I'm writing it down. And then you go back. And a lot of times when something happens, you'll notice that you had several different thoughts about it. Like maybe you're writing about the six kisses. It's my time of the month. It shouldn't have happened. I should have known better, blah, 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 all the things. And you can model each individual thought. Right. Or like if you have an argument with someone. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So this is the thing though. At some point again, it's going to be your time of the month. There's going to be six Hershey Kisses. That's where the intentional model comes in. So now what you're going to do is say, okay, something like this is going to happen again. I mean, cause I'm human and I'm alive and that's just how life goes, right? Like that's just how the cookie crumbles. There will be cookies. There will be kisses. There will be pizza, there will be something, right? Mm-hmm. And so what do I want to think? That's where the intentional side of it comes in. What is a thought that maybe, or you can even say, how do I want to feel when I see those kisses? What could I have felt? What, you know, instead of feeling disappointed, I could have maybe today felt what? Or what do you want to think You can either go for the feeling line or the thought line.
Well, in that case, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to eat the six, I know I don't want to eat six Hershey Kisses together. So if this is an intentional model, is this what I want to do? Turn this into a positive? You know what I mean?
Yes. Right. So this is what you're going to do next time.
Next time I actually have the six?
It doesn't have to be. Next time it might be pizza. Next time it may be cookies. Next time it may be ice cream.
So I want to be able to eat them, but on plan, I guess. Is that the positive version of...
Right. Or you could, if you see the six Hershey Kisses, your thought then could be, I really want these, so I will plan for them tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So if I know they're there, right. It doesn't necessarily...
Right. So next time, that's what you're going to think. Right? Yeah. And then...
So having the intentional plan is where I go back to seeing what I did last time.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes so much more sense. Yeah. I wasn't making that connection. Yeah. So.
And I mean, it's not necessarily that you can go back and redo the situation, right? So like, for instance, if my husband says words to me and I think he needs to keep his damn mouth shut, that's my thought, then I feel and act and I get a result. He may not say those words to me again, but at some point in the future, I can promise you, I'm going to have a thought. He needs to keep his damn mouth shut. Right? And then I'll be like, oh, I remember now. I remember that. So sometimes it's just because we're really creatures of habits. Well, we have the same feelings over and over again. We have the same thoughts over and over again. So like next time it might not be Hershey Kisses. It might be something else, but you're like, oh, I remember last time thinking it was my time of the month. And I ate those. What? Yeah. So you start to like open your mind up to there might be another, well, there always is. There's another way to think about it.
Yeah.
Okay. How else could I think about this? What else might I think right now?
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah. So that's the whole purpose of the model.
Yeah. I know this might be a topic for another call, but when the TDL, is that supposed to help me figure out which model I want or what models I need to do? Or is that, can that be just separate? That's the progression.
Yeah. It's just a brain dump. You dump all of your thoughts out and then all roads basically lead you down the same path. When you do your TDL, most of them, the thoughts are going to give you a very similar result. So you can just pick a thought, any thought. And then you can do a model on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Because you may have had 10 different thoughts about these Hershey Kisses.
Yeah, right? For sure.
And they would have probably all ended up basically you giving away your power. Yeah. Or I shouldn't have done that. Or, I gave up on myself or whatever it is. It's going to be some variation of that.
Then I learned that the thing that I'm doing is a lot of giving up my power. And then that's what I start remembering is something to work on or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Terrific. I just don't always do these things thinking I'm going to use them again. And I want to make sure that I know that it's still useful. So like the TDLs, even if I knew this is specifically what I did that I wanted to work on, the TDL I do sometimes just to get it out. And I want to know that because I've never been a journaler or a writer, it's always in my head. But I know that there's a use to getting it out and seeing it and physically writing it. And so I just want to make sure that that's still right, even if I don't go back and read a lot of it, because I really don't want that.
And a lot of times too, honestly, for me, especially when I first started, when I was writing down and I would separate out, like if I really went back out and separated out all my thoughts, there were a good many of my TDLs and journals that had no facts in them. None. They were all just a bunch of thoughts that I really thought were true. And then it was even just enough sometimes for me to go back and see them written on paper and be like, none of that shit happened. That was all just something I made up in my head. Nothing was even right. Like it opened my eyes to be like, this is just crap I'm making up in my head.
Yeah.
You know, and like a lot of times just really identifying the difference between a circumstance and a thought. People are like, I mean, it like blows your mind that like, oh my God, that didn't really happen.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such good stuff. Thank you so much.
You're
really
very, very welcome. You're very welcome.
Okay. All right. Have a great
This was a good night, y'all. This was a very good night. Let's see. All right, y'all. It is now 8 o'clock. I'm shutting my door down. Shutting down the door. So I had a great night. I enjoyed spending my evening with y'all. It was awesome. Yeah, great calls tonight. I'm so excited that y'all came and hung out with me for a while. So I'm going to go release my children from their rooms. They were like 2 hours, a long time to be quiet. I was like, but you have to be. So I know they're like on house arrest up there thinking that I've like somehow wronged them, but they'll be okay. So y'all have a great night and I will see you. I will see you when I see you. Bye-bye, y'all.